Amen. Thank you for that special. I'm so thankful for Calvary. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. We're going to begin a new study about the Spirit-filled life. Our theme for this year has been Christ in me. And as we have come to the fall season and we're kind of moving towards the end of the year, we want to learn about being Spirit-filled. Christ is in us today through His Holy Spirit. And without the Spirit of God, we don't have the Christian life. If you have the Spirit, you have life. If you don't have the Spirit, you don't have life. If you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. And so we want to understand this part of the Godhead, the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, and how He wants to fill us, how He wants us to walk in Him. And so over the next several weeks, we're going to try to learn about that. And I just want to attempt to try to introduce this series to you. And there's so many things I want to share with you from the Word of God. We're going to look at a lot of Bible verses today. So let's stand together, if you're able, Ephesians chapter 5. And we're just going to begin with one verse, Ephesians 5 and verse 18. Ephesians 5 and verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Let's pray together. Merciful Father, as we come to your throne of grace one more time this morning, I pray that you'll help. Help me to preach your word by the power of your Spirit. Give us wisdom and understanding, Lord. Guide us and teach us by your Spirit to understand and rightly divide the word of truth. Lord, illuminate us. Shine your truth in our hearts and minds so that we might understand, that we might know you more, and that we might leave here today away from this message encouraged and equipped by the word of God to love you and to live for you in a greater way. Father, we pray that you would help us to understand how your Spirit works in our hearts and lives today. Father, we pray that you'd help us to be filled with your Spirit moment by moment, day by day, week after week, month after month, year after year, that the times of our sojourning here would be filled with your Spirit until we see you face to face. Please help me, for I'm nothing without you, and I pray that you would bless by your Spirit today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. There aren't any reasonable Christians on the planet who would argue with the reality that Christians shouldn't get drunk. There are people who like to debate about whether a Christian can drink or should drink and all of that, but this isn't a message about that. But we do understand something great about this idea of being Spirit-filled just by this one verse. When a person becomes drunk, they are intoxicated. What they've done is taken in a substance into them that is taking control of them. They get something in them to the point that it takes control of them. And when you are drunk with wine, the wine will cause you to say things and do things that you wouldn't normally say. It takes over who you are and what you do with yourself. And in that same idea, we get this idea of being filled with the Spirit. You don't want to be drunk with wine, but you do want to have the Spirit influence you to the point that you will say things and do things that you wouldn't normally do in your flesh, but you will do in the power of the Spirit. Amen. Everybody get that? Amen. So we understand that we want to be filled with the Spirit. There are a lot of confusing and, just to be frank, unbiblical teachings about the Spirit of God today. And over the next several weeks, we want to dispel the wrong teachings about the Spirit. We want to understand the right teachings about the Spirit, because we do not want to leave the Spirit out of our Christian life. We cannot leave the Spirit out of our Christian life. Jesus ascended into heaven and he said, if I go away, I will send a comforter. He will be with you. He will teach you. He will guide you. He will empower you. And we cannot live the Christian life without the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And we have got to stop allowing wrong teachings about the Spirit to hijack the Spirit out of our lives, out of our preaching, out of our teaching, and out of our daily living. We've got to have a right understanding, and we've got to live it. I'm afraid that I don't think I'll ever forget Brother Steve Spires, my pastor, when I was coming up preaching a message about the forgotten member of the Trinity. I remember him preaching about the forgotten member of the Trinity. Listen, we talk about God the Father all the time. Our Father which art in heaven, we pray to him. We pray in Jesus' name. We talk about Jesus all the time like we should. Because when we're spirit-filled, by the way, that's what we do. We exalt Jesus. And when Jesus is brought into the picture, he exalts the Father. That's the way it works. But so many times we forget all about the Holy Spirit because people have taught wrong and acted wrong about the Spirit. We just leave him out. We forget about him. And God help us to not do that. God help us to have a right understanding about who Jesus is. We cannot live without his power. You know, so many illustrations are given. One of the favorites that people have is, you know, you get saved, you got everything to make it work, but you've got to have fuel to make your car run. You got an engine in your car, everything works just right, but if you don't put fuel in it, it will not run. Can I get a witness today? How many of you have ever run out of gasoline? Just raise your hand. Hold on, let's go the other way. How many of you have never run out of gas in your car? Never. How many of you have ever told a lie? No, I'm just teasing. That's impressive. I've only run out of gas, I think, one time, and it's because the gas gauge was broke. It wasn't my fault. Right? Most of you know that I've been blessed to get my pilot's license, and it's a really important thing to check the fuel in the airplane before you take off. I have not run out of fuel in an airplane yet. Amen. Amen. You know, a lot of other things wrong, but I haven't done that. When you fly in a small airplane like these airplanes I have the privilege to fly, you don't trust the gauges. You always look. You always look. You climb up on a stepladder. You open, the fuel tanks are on top. The gas cap is on top of the wing. You open it up. You look inside to make sure there's fuel inside those gas tanks in the wings. You want to make sure there's fuel because if there's no fuel, you can't fly. The engine doesn't run. And there are so many Christians today who are going through their lives without the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. And friend, listen, you cannot get very far. Amen. Because when you operate without the filling of the Spirit, you are operating in your own strength. And you don't have the strength to live for Jesus on your own. You cannot do it. And there's so many Christians today trying to live the Christian life, and they're not making sure their tank is full. They're not yielding themselves to God, and they're not being filled with him. And we want to learn about that, be challenged by that in the next few weeks. Now, today I want to back up just a little bit and try to gain a better understanding of how the Spirit of God has worked throughout Scripture. And listen, friends, this is going to be like a satellite picture. This is going to be a big overview. We're not going to get into a lot of details today, but I need you to get this. The Spirit of God has always been at work in the world. You can read in Genesis, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. He was active in the creation that we are a part of today. The Holy Spirit of God has always been at work in the Old Testament, and we read about some of these things. I draw your attention to 1 Samuel chapter 16, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. In the Old Testament, we see a lot of the empowering of the Spirit of God, the anointing of the Spirit of God. 1 Samuel 16, 13 says, "Then Samuel took of the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him." Now, this is a lot of heavy stuff, but what I want you to understand is in the Old Testament, God would empower men and women for specific purposes, for specific times, and the Spirit of God came on them to empower them to do a work. God had empowered Saul to be king over Israel, but when God sent Samuel to ordain or to anoint David to be king, that empowering left Saul, and that empowering went to David. Now, does that mean David lost his salvation? He had the Spirit, then he lost the Spirit? No. I need you to understand this truth. There is a difference between the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's a difference between the Spirit sealing you and holding you as his own, marking you as his own, and the empowering of the Spirit. Listen, if you're not filled with the Spirit right now this morning, if the Spirit of God isn't on you, anointing you, empowering you, filling you up right now this moment, does that mean you're not saved anymore? No, the Spirit of God, he empowers us, but he quickens us. He makes us alive, and that empowering is something different. In Psalm 51, verses 10 through 12. Psalm 51, verse 10. Now, you remember that David sinned against God. He sinned with Bathsheba. You remember how he tried to cover up his sin by bringing Uriah home. And remember how he sent him out there, carried his own death sentence in his hand to the front line where he died. And then he took away Bathsheba. You remember all that? You remember how Nathan the prophet came to David and he told him about the rich man who took the poor man's lamb. Remember that? Amen. You remember how David was angry. And he said, that man's gonna pay for what he's done. And Nathan the prophet said to David, thou art the man. Amen. Now when David was confronted with his sin, he repented. And in Psalm 51, we see his prayer of repentance. And in the middle of this prayer of repentance, in verse 10, David is crying out to God and he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Now, I want you to get this. There are a lot of people who would point to this verse and say, see, David was scared about losing his salvation. David was afraid that he wouldn't be a child of God anymore. David was afraid that God was going to cast him into outer darkness. He was terrified. But I want you to look at what he says in verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. David was in danger of losing the empowering of this Spirit, the anointing of the Spirit, but he was not in danger of losing his relationship with God. Amen. He had lost the joy of his salvation. And when you have unconfessed sin in your life, you're not going to have joy either. Amen. Anybody experience that? Hard to have the joy of your salvation when you're living in sin. You've got unconfessed, unrepentant sin in your heart and mind. You're under conviction. The Holy Spirit is chastising you. You know you need to get right. You're miserable on the inside. The most miserable person on the planet is not the lost person who doesn't know that they're lost. It's the saved person who knows that they're sinning against God and refuses to get right. And David knew he had sinned against God, and until he was willing to repent, until he was willing to cry out to God for forgiveness and cleansing, he was going to be miserable. Amen. And so he said, God, don't take away the anointing. Don't take away the empowering. Don't cause me to lose my place in your kingdom and your service. He wasn't saying, don't cast me into hell. He was saying, don't take away this empowering, this anointing that you've given me in my life. God empowered certain men for certain things at certain times. Samson was one of those men, one of the judges. And you remember how Delilah kept trying to figure out what it was, where you get your strength from. You remember how he kept lying to her. And I don't understand why he ever even entertained the thought of telling her. Because every time he lied to her, she called the Philistines that came in. But we read in Judges chapter 16 and verse 20, after he told her the truth, she made him sleep on her knees. She called for a man. She caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head and began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. Verse 20 says, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he woke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not, he knew not that the Lord was departed from him. He didn't know that the empowering of God was gone. And I think that there are a lot of Christians today who are living without the power of the Holy Spirit in their day-to-day life. Amen. And they don't even know it. John chapter 6, verse 63. in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit of God empowered certain people for certain purposes for certain times. But I want you to understand that our spiritual life comes from the Spirit of God. In John chapter 6, verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. How many of you can tell me what the word quicken means in the Bible? Does anybody remember? It means to be made alive. Amen. Some of you look disappointed. I'm a little disappointed that it doesn't make you faster. I wouldn't mind being a little faster. No, he doesn't make you faster. He does something infinitely better. He makes you alive. Amen. Can I help you out? If God is going to make you alive, that means that before he made you alive, you weren't alive. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were separated from God because of our iniquity. We were without God and without hope in the world. We were in the darkness. There was no hope, no light, no good at all. But when you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, he brought you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. He brought you from dead and he gave you life. And he did that through his Spirit. He did it through his Spirit. Job 33:4, the Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You must be born again. And that being born again, that second birth, that born twice comes through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. It's the Spirit that makes you alive. Now, why do I make such a big deal about this? Because, listen, I'm going to give you some Isaac Slate theology, okay? You study it out on your own, because I feel like I'm on an island by myself with this theology. That's my disclaimer. But I got it? I got your attention now, don't I? What is he going to say? People all over the internet are getting their notebooks out. What's he about to say? Listen, I don't think that Abraham, that the Spirit of God, when he believed in God, our Bible tells us that Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. I believe that Abraham was made alive by the Spirit of the living God. Amen. Believe that. Amen. Now, there are some hard verses in the New Testament. I don't pretend to have all the answers, but I'm just telling you this. I believe that God has always saved everyone he saved by his Spirit and that he saved them forever. Now, we see that the Spirit of God came on them and departed from them. The Spirit left Saul. Does that mean Saul was now lost and he'd spend eternity in hell? The Spirit left Samson. Does that mean that the Spirit left him and he was dead in his sins again and he would go to hell? No. There's a difference between the indwelling of the Spirit and the empowering of the Spirit. And yes, something different happened. Jesus told his disciples that I'm going to send my Spirit. He is with you and he will be in you. But I'm just telling you that I believe that every man, woman, boy, or girl who has ever gone into heaven has done so because they've been made alive by the Spirit of God. Amen. It's the Spirit that quickeneth. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. Boy, Paul lays this out so beautifully for us. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. He says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. But if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Amen. Now, can I just get your attention for a second today? How many of you believe that life matters? Amen. Everybody say amen to that? Amen. Do you understand that a lot of the division and a lot of the rioting and a lot of the crazy stuff that's going on in America today? And listen, you may think that you are as far away from some people in this country as you could possibly be. You've got different worldviews and you've got different takes on situations, but do you understand that the reason people in America are so upset today is because they believe life matters too, and that they believe that there are injustices against people's lives? Do you get that? Now listen, we may come at it a different approach, we may have a different view of things, but I just want you to understand that every reasonable person on the planet understands that people's lives matter. That, and if you have any sense at all, then you should understand this. It doesn't matter what color your skin is, your life matters. It doesn't matter how much money you have or how poor you are, your life matters. It doesn't matter if you live in the United States of America or you live in Nicaragua or some other country. Your life matters. Amen. And it doesn't matter if you're a Christian or a Hindu or a Muslim or any other religion. Your life matters. Amen. Listen to me. Jesus Christ created you. God formed you in the womb, and your life matters. Amen. Every life matters. By the way, it doesn't matter how developed you are. Your life matters. It doesn't matter if you have some kind of handicap, some kind of developmental disability. Your life matters. Amen. It doesn't matter where you live. Your life matters. It doesn't matter whether you're 97. Your life matters. Amen. It doesn't matter if you are still in your mother's womb. Your life matters. Listen, I want you to get this. We have something in us that says life and death matters. We get real serious about it when it's a matter of life or death. In one of the sessions at the men's retreat, the illustration was given. You're on a road trip. See if I can get everybody some anxiety this morning. You're on a road trip with your family. Does that give you a little bit of stress? Just automatically? You're on a road trip with your family, and you just stopped at the convenience store. Everybody went to the potty. Everybody washed their hands. Everybody got their snacks. You've just been back on the road about 5 or 10 minutes, and what do you hear from the back of the car? I need to go to the bathroom. Nobody ever's been there. Okay, all right, we've all been there. I love it when I've got to go, and the kids are like that. I'm like, I guess we'll stop. Right? Half the time, it's me. I'm just waiting for one of them to say it. You just got back on the road. One of the kids says, I got to go to the bathroom. And you know that it's like 100 miles to the next exit. And you're like, listen, tough. You're just going to have to deal with it. Right? No? Yeah, side of the road, whatever. How bad is it? Can you hold it? Right? That's a convenience issue. You're going to deal with that when you can deal with that. But if you just made the same stop, you just got on the highway, you've just been on the road for a few moments, and you hear one of the kids cry in the back, and the other child is having a seizure. Then it doesn't matter. Wherever the nearest hospital is, you're going to get there. Right? Man, that illustration was so good this week and so helpful to me, because you need to understand something. This is a matter of life and death. Amen. Not just physical life, eternal life. I need you to hear me today. If you do not have the Spirit of God, you do not have life. Amen. It's not that you will die one day. You are dead right now. You don't have life in you. You are separated from God. You are in the darkness. You are on the way to hell. You have no hope, no connection with God whatsoever. And I want you to understand, if you're not saved today, you need to realize how serious this is. You are already dead. The wrath of God abides on you. There is no hope for you. And I said that all lives matter. It's absolutely true. Everyone matters, whatever color you are, whatever religion you are. But listen, being a Muslim will not get you to heaven, and being a Hindu will not get you to heaven. There's only one who can get you to heaven, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the creator of all things. He's the only one who loved you so much that he lived a sinless and perfect life and gave his life on Calvary for you. He paid the price for your sins. See, that's why all the other religions fall short. There's no answer for the sin problem. There's no sacrifice for sins. I'm just going to keep doing good and doing good and hope I can build up enough good deeds to outweigh my bad deeds. But friend, you are desperately wicked. Your sin is exceeding sinful, just like mine. And I could not save myself, and you cannot save yourself. There's only one who can save you. And he loves you, and he died for you, and he rose again, and he offers eternal life to all who believe. And when you turn from your sin and you put your faith in Christ, he makes you alive by his Spirit. He puts his Spirit inside of you. He gives you life. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But, verse 11, if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, that he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. If you are saved by faith in Jesus Christ, his Spirit is in you and you are alive. See, I've been trying to talk to some dead people, but now I'd like to just talk to some alive people for a second. Are you alive in Christ? Amen. Does his Spirit live in you? Amen. Have you been brought out of the darkness and into his marvelous life? Amen. Into his marvelous light? Have you been passed from death unto life? Amen. Will you ever come into condemnation? And the answer is no. No. I will never come into condemnation. I am not dead, but I am alive, and it's all by faith in Jesus Christ. There in Romans 8, jump down to verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Amen. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Listen, I want you to understand, when you are saved by Jesus, his Spirit lives inside of you and he makes you a child of God. I wish I could explain it. I know that salvation is not a feeling, and I know, especially dealing with young people, we don't want to capitalize on those feelings. We don't want to make it all about feelings, because sometimes you feel saved and sometimes you don't feel saved. But I don't know how else to describe this. The day that I was saved, there was something inside of me, and I knew that I was saved. Amen. It was more than a feeling. Amen. It was more than a nice, warm, fuzzy. It was more than the feeling of the weight of my sin being gone away. There was something different that day in that moment. Amen. That where a few seconds before I felt the weight of my sin and I knew I was on my way to hell. I knew I had the condemnation of God upon me. I felt the guilt and shame of my sin, that Christ suffered and died for me. I felt all of that. And then in the next instant, I don't feel any of that at all. It's all gone. And all I have is this overwhelming assurance that I know when I die, I'm going to be in heaven with God. Amen. I see a lot of heads nodding like you're with me. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. So it's all based on a feeling? No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just telling you my experience with the Spirit itself bearing witness with my spirit. Well, what about since then, preacher? Have you always known that you were saved? You always felt saved? Absolutely not. I know some of you have never doubted your salvation, and I rejoice for you. I'm not one of you. I'll just go ahead and confess to you how messed up I am. I may wake up tomorrow and wonder if I'm really saved. I'm just telling you. My mind and emotions are a roller coaster that would make you sick. I got flying on my mind a little bit. A couple of months ago, I got to go do some aerobatic flying. It was really, really fun for a while. And then it became unfun. And then I upchucked. That's where my mind and emotions are. So when I tell you that the Spirit bears witness with your spirit, so you know that you're saved, that He is in you and you know that you're saved, I'm not trying to get you to base it all on the feeling, because my salvation is not resting on my feelings. It's resting on the promise of the Word of God. God said, repent and believe the gospel and you'll have eternal life. I repented. I believe the gospel. I am trusting in Jesus right now to get me to heaven. I know it's not my good works because I'm not good. I know it's not how I live my life because I mess up. I know it's not all about a feeling because my feelings change. But my salvation is secure in Christ because thus saith the Lord. Amen. It's His word. It's His word. He empowers us, but He quickens us. He makes us alive, and then He indwells those who believe in Him. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. His Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is in you. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 16 to 18. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as He hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Is the Spirit of God in you today? If you have the Spirit, then you have life. But if the Spirit of Christ is not in you right now in this moment, listen to me, He can be. What do I need to do? You need to turn away from your sin and your unbelief. You need to put your faith and trust in Christ alone. Every believer is indwelled by the Spirit of God. But we understand today that we not only need to have the Spirit in us, we need to walk in the Spirit day by day. Because the Spirit dwells in you, there in 2 Corinthians 6:17, He says, wherefore, because God said, I will dwell in you, because God said, I will walk in you, because of that, come out from among them and be separate. Touch not the unclean thing. We need to live differently because we are different. This morning, I want to have an opportunity for you to respond to the Word of God. I want to ask our musicians to come, and we're going to stand together. I want to remind you of one verse as we get ready for this opportunity to respond. Romans 8 and verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. Do you have the Spirit of Christ in you today? You see, you know it by faith, but it's evidenced by the way you live your life. We do not work in order to be saved, but because we are saved, we work. Because His Spirit is in us, we bear fruit of the Spirit. It's evident in our lives. Maybe today you're like David and you've lost the joy of your salvation. That's available to you as well. You got unconfessed, unrepented sin? Listen, this is really complicated. I need you to get all the steps. You've got unconfessed, unrepented sin in your life. You've lost the joy of your salvation. What you need to do is confess and repent. You may say it again one more time, slower. Listen, we make everything so hard, and it's really so simple. love him and keep his commandments. When you mess up, fess up. If there's something that's not right between you and your Savior today, you come. Any decision you need to make for Christ, you come. The Holy Spirit is working in your heart. I know that he is through his word. You respond in faith and obedience right now while we sing.